One day, a girl and her mom were walking along when suddenly they came upon a large stone.
Whoa, Mom, check out this big rock. Wow. Do you think I could move it? I bet I could move it if I use all my strength.
If you use all your strength, I'm sure you can move it. No, you can do it. You didn't ask for my help.
How often do we forget that lesson? That using all of our strength means so much more than simply using our own muscles. I've grown up in this society that tells me that my greatest worth is my independence, that whatever needs to be done, I can do it. I am solely responsible for pulling myself up by my bootstraps, for whether I'm successful in my career, for my ability to support myself and my family, for my attitudes in response to hurt or tragedy in my life. This analysis is directly opposed to the reality of the interdependence of life and of lives. The reality that biological life isn't possible without connection. The reality that we live in social and political systems that were built upon the fact of interaction. But they're also built within a frame that valued independence, that let us actually believe that we are separate beings, that what we have is a direct reflection of our own individual worth and ability. And I fall into this trap often, forgetting to invite others into my work, forgetting that we're stronger together, forgetting that it isn't all on me all the time. Human beings gather at the bedsides of the sick, at the scenes of accidents, on the streets in protest. It's in our wiring to come together when we understand in our hearts that we cannot carry a burden or move a boulder, actual or metaphorical, on our own. Just yesterday, I heard stories from some of you about how and when you joined this congregation. And the thing that those stories held in common was a seeking of community in response to something that happened in your lives that you could not hold alone. We need one another, wrote George Odell, when we mourn and would be comforted, when we are in trouble and afraid, when we are in despair, in temptation, and need to be recalled to our best selves again. In the hour of success, when we look for someone to share our triumphs, and in the hour of defeat, when with encouragement we might endure and stand again. All our lives we are in need, and others are in need of us. And in our pulling together into community, because we're conditioned to think we can go it alone, we often forget how we might work together. How many times have I forgotten to communicate that I will lift this piece of furniture from this end so the person working with me knows what to expect when it suddenly rises into the air, and how we might move it together? How many times have I stayed in an argument that clearly wasn't going anywhere, that needed reframing because, darn it, I know I'm right, instead of trusting that someone else's way of making the point might actually be more effective? And how many times have I insisted on sticking with something to the very end, even though it might exhaust me, when there are other people perfectly willing and capable of stepping in? Our Unitarian Universalist heritage and theology are grounded in cooperation and collaboration and interdependence, on the idea that what we do together is a result of what we each believe to be true about the nature of God or the universe, on the understanding that our covenant, our promise to each other in the presence of that which is greater than us, is what holds the potential and the actualization of our community. This makes the space for us to learn to work together toward making our values real in the world.
Harriet Tubman said, "Every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember, you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world." Former slave and Underground Railroad conductor Harriet Tubman speaks of strength, patience, and passion as the pillars to creating change in the world. And it is no doubt that these attributes were present in the hearts of abolitionists and slaves alike as they collaborated to prevail to freedom. The path to freedom is a story of perseverance, one in which the freedom of slaves relied upon the cooperation and partnership of people from diverse backgrounds, folks of different races, income levels, and occupations joined together to further the reality of freedom for black slaves. The success of the Underground Railroad rested on the combined effort of former runaway slaves, freeborn blacks, Native Americans, and white and black abolitionists who helped guide runaway slaves along the routes and provided their homes as safe havens. The diversity among these freedom fighters is a testament to how the institution of slavery wasn't simply a means of subjugating the black population, but also a systematic means of keeping the whole of American society in check as well. We can only imagine the risks these people took and can only theorize what their sources of perseverance were. I can imagine that for slaves, the desire to have some agency, no matter how little, over one's own body, one's own life, was deeply connected to the ability to keep struggling and to keep fighting for their freedom. I can also imagine that for white abolitionists, the courage they exhibited in the struggle for abolition was not necessarily due to their love for black people, but for their love of the right. They had the moral certitude that slavery was wrong, which enabled them to persevere. The act of harboring fugitive slaves put these conductors in grave danger. My great-great-great-grandmother Hancock was a staunch Quaker, and her home served as a stop on the Underground Railroad in Ohio. The act of harboring fugitive slaves was dangerous for her too, yet she persisted because she believed in a cause greater than herself, which was the freeing of thousands of enslaved human beings. It was during one of America's darkest periods that the beauty of heroism of the human spirit shone the brightest, when people of all races, backgrounds, beliefs worked together as a part of the Underground Railroad, risking their homes, their families, and their lives to help each other escape slavery and establish freedom for everyone. We see what individuals have accomplished by speaking up and joining together. Colson Whitehead recently wrote a book titled The Underground Railroad. He wrote, "Who are you after you finish something this magnificent? In constructing it, you have also journeyed through it to the other side. No one end there was No one end, there was who you were before you went underground. On the other end, a new person steps out into the light. And up top, the world must be so ordinary compared to the miracle beneath, the miracle you made with your sweat and blood, the secret triumph you keep in your heart.
There is a need. There is a need for this kind of collaboration today. We have to be able to lean on each other and count on each other as we learn to make our way in an environment that is increasingly hostile to the shared values we hold and increasingly dangerous to the people in our society for whom marginalization is becoming persecution. And there is need for perseverance. This is long haul work. It has been going on since before we were born, before our parents were born, even those of us in later stages in life. And it will continue after we are gone for our children and their children to pick up. It will change focus and it will change shape just as it has. It will continue to. And what will continue to be important is our ability to keep creating the conditions under which resistance and progress and change are possible. This means that it is crucial that we do not wear ourselves out. Does anyone in this room feel worn out?
Michael Moore wrote, "This morning, I have been pondering a nearly forgotten lesson I learned in high school music class. Sometimes, in band or choir, music requires players or singers to hold a note longer than they can actually hold a note. In those cases, we were taught to mindfully stagger when we took a breath so that the sound appeared uninterrupted. Everyone got to breathe, and the music stayed strong and vibrant. So let's remember the advice of music. Take a breath. The rest of the chorus will sing. The rest of the band will play. Rejoin so that others can then breathe. Together, we can sustain a very long, beautiful song for a very long time. You don't have to do it all, but you must add your voice to the song."
I see two layers to this piece of wisdom, thank you, Stephanie, that I'm going to call current and generational. In current time, the wisdom offered here is that we each need time to rest, to let others step in while we step back to catch our metaphorical breath. We do this here at REEB. We practice this by requiring term limits for our board members and by trying to be intentional about rotating our committee chairs and our team chairs so nobody gets too tired and everybody gets to try new things. And those of us who are activists know that the self-care movement is strong, that we know that each of us serves the movement best when we remember to step back and take care of ourselves to ensure the sustainability of the whole. Audre Lorde said it best, "Caring for myself is not self-indulgence, it is self-preservation, and that is an act of political warfare." There's also a need to make space for younger generations to come into the work, because darn, I'm tired. We often say this is what we want, right? Fresh voices, fresh energy, and yet time and again I have seen older activists be very reluctant to acknowledge the wisdom arising from our youth. I was just challenged in my understanding of that this week when I was here for a talk with Takiya Thompson. Takiya is one of the young activists who were responsible for taking down a Confederate statue outside a courthouse in Durham, North Carolina. They did this, shall we say, outside the legal system? And they're facing charges for it. Someone asked Takiya last week whether she thought it was better to use the legal system to the advantage of the movement to dismantle white supremacy culture and its symbols by getting court orders to take down those symbols and do it legally, or if she thought it was better to act in civil disobedience and take them down outside the legal system. She responded that she thought it was better to do it the way they had done it, take it down. That the attention that got was far more valuable than the process of doing it legally might have been. And indeed, there was a lot of publicity. I felt a surge rising within me of, nah-uh, because of course it makes more sense to do something legally, right? To make change to the system from within. This is how I learned it. Civil disobedience feels to me like a choice to make after the legal ways of trying to accomplish something have been tried and exhausted. But I'm learning. I'm learning that folks of generations younger than me may believe that the dramatic attention caused by the illegal removing of the statue and the highly visible court case is a worthy strategy to follow. And I'm learning to take a breath and go, huh. And while I take that breath, people in my generation are singing out, and people in other generations are finding and using their voices, and then some of them will breathe, and I will rejoin the chorus. So let's try this out. Let's practice taking some breaths in order to sustain a unified chorus. Heather has some instruction for us.
Thank you. Good morning. The choir is preparing a piece called How Long? So we are going to test you and see how long you can sustain a note. They are going to rise and demonstrate just the final portion of this song from where they are, right? And then I'll point out a specific line afterwards and let you try it, and then we'll all try it together. So three times total. This is the particular line that I would invite you, congregation, to sing. This right here, it sounds like this. And you hold that pitch as long as you can, so it's on how. How long? You ready? Ready to try it? Here we go. One, two, three. How that was pretty. See, and I'm sure someone snuck a breath in there somewhere, right? So we didn't make an official plan for staggering, but we fall in for each other. Okay, so let's try it all together now. From yeah, here we go. One, two, three.
Oh,
May it be so. And may we be so.